Welcome to the Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit, your guide to feeling younger, reversing disease, and living better now. My name is Dr. Michael Murray, and I'm your host for today, and I'm really happy to be introducing you to Dr. Marita Sho. Welcome, Marita.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're part of this program. Dr. Marita is the author of Making Sense of Women's Health and Collagen Myths and Misconceptions, and the co-author of The Adrenal Stress Connection and Stress and the Disease Connection. Through her passion for health and wellness, Dr. Sho leads by example and hopes to empower others to choose positive lifestyle choices in order to live optimally. She actively lectures across North America about various topics pertaining to health and disease prevention, with a special interest in women's health. She also frequently participates in radio and TV interviews, as well as writes many articles that have been featured in numerous print media. Dr. Sho currently resides and has her clinical practice on Vancouver Island in Victoria, BC, a beautiful place. Dr. Marita's talk is entitled Five Keys to Optimum Women's Health. This is a really important topic, Marita, but before we get there, I'd like to know a little bit more about how you got to what you're doing now. What inspired you to become a naturopathic physician? What inspired you to focus on women's health? And what really is your passion? Because you're doing a lot, and that takes energy, and passion is the fuel for that energy.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's really interesting sort of how the path sort of led to naturopathic medicine. I was actually on my way to becoming a medical doctor and doing all my pre-medical studies. And I just felt like when I looked at sort of medicine as a whole, I really thought that medicine should be about empowering the patient, education, preventative medicine. And it was actually my mom that showed me this huge insert. It was like a 10-page article on being a naturopathic doctor and what it encompassed. And it just really, really resonated with me. It really clicked. And so I sort of took a different turn and I became a naturopathic doctor. I studied in Toronto at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. And through the last few years, my practice has really grown into, I'd say, women's health. I love the complexity and the fact that, you know, two women are alike, and they might be going through the same symptoms, but what's causing their symptoms can be very, very different. I also do a lot of hormonal balancing with regards to thyroid disease. I do a lot of work with adrenal dysfunction, so adrenal fatigue. And I do find, you know, when we talk a little bit more, there are some sort of foundational imbalances that can definitely impact the body. And those are sort of the key things that that I focus on when I'm treating a patient in clinical practice.
Yeah, you want to focus on five keys to optimum women's health today. That's great. If you can simplify it to just five things, that's fantastic. So I'll turn it over to you. What's number one?
So as you probably know, being a naturopathic physician yourself, you know, the foundation, I believe, is nutrition. So what we're actually putting into our bodies, as well as your lifestyle. So exercise, meditation, really focusing on sort of the mind-body connection. So if we look at sort of that as one of the key aspects and the foundations, I spend a lot of time talking to my women patients about adequate amounts of healthy lean protein, not to fear the fat. You know, fats are good. They're really important for hormone, supporting our precursors to our hormones, very important for the brain, drinking enough water. I've been doing a lot of seminars lately on sugar. Right? How sugar is just hidden in everything, how it's leading to insulin resistance. I'm seeing a lot of younger women that are trying to get pregnant that are suffering from polycystic ovarian syndrome, so PCOS. Again, there's that whole insulin resistance metabolic syndrome connection. So these are sort of, you know, when you look at nutrition and really identifying sort of some of the root imbalances, the sugar, enough protein, fiber is a big one when we talk about, you know, detox detoxification and making sure that we're binding any potential toxins that are building up in the body. You know, those are some of the things that, you know, I really start off with my patients, really educating them about, okay, this is where we need to start. And then from there, you know, removing those obstacles allows the body to really heal itself.
Yeah, removing obstacles to cure is always a good idea. I could tell when you started talking about fats that your face got illuminated, because I know you probably reflected, you know, trying to talk to your patients that fat is good. We just have to eat the good fats. I would make the judgment that many women have been scared away from fats because they fear it's going to put weight on, and they just don't really understand how critical good oils and good fats are to their health. So how do you counsel your patients when they are kind of resistant to eating more of the good oils?
I know. It's so funny because my latest blog is just that I just wrote was on fats. It was titled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So, you know, I just talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, sort of distinguishing between the good and the bad. So the bad being like the trans and the hydrogenated fat. So things that you're going to get from, you know, muffins and croissants and deep fried foods. But then I'll really focus on like the good fats being like really fuel for the body and fuel for the hormones. And, you know, talking about like coconut oil and avocado oil and olive oil and, you know, your nuts and seeds and lean like animal proteins and things like that. So really just looking at the two and making sure that they understand the good versus the bad. I find a lot of my patients will, you know, get it. And I'm all, I'm about sort of moderation too. So, you know, I know we just had Christmas. And so I figure, you know, I always tell my patients, you know, if you want to have, you know, some cheesecake or, you know, a cookie on the holidays, it's not the end of the world. It's just generally you want to make sure that you're keeping your good fats higher and your bad fats lower.
So are there any specific foods that you think are really important for a woman to include in their diet every day?
You know what? We talked about fats, but I do believe fiber is another one that I think is really important. Again, because I do so much education with regards to liver health and hormone imbalance and foods that really bind those harmful estrogens that we get from our environment. And so things like chia seeds and hemp hearts and ground flax as a phytoestrogen is really, really important as well. I also believe that the cruciferous vegetables are also a group of foods that, you know, I have a lot of my patients that'll say, oh, you know, I don't know that I do very well with broccoli or cabbage or cauliflower. But I find like steaming the veggies are an excellent source of things like indole 3-carbinol and DIM that, again, help to really balance the estrogen and progesterone and help to eliminate those excess estrogens out of the body.
Yeah, that's great. So nutrition's number one. What's number two?
So number two is adrenal health. Huh. So yeah, so I do a lot of adrenal testing in my clinical practice. I do believe that the adrenal glands, the health of the adrenal glands will really determine how well the rest of the body is going to function. The adrenal glands, for the listeners and the viewers, are of course our stress glands. And so they really determine how well our body copes and adapts to stressful situations. And if the adrenal glands aren't functioning very well, they can definitely impact, again, estrogen progesterone levels. They can impact testosterone levels. They can affect the brain, your serotonin, melatonin, sleep, anxiety, depression. So I do believe that the adrenal glands are definitely an important system to really support.
And what are some of your key recommendations for supporting the adrenal glands?
Well, there's a lot of different things. I love the adaptogenic herbs. So things like rhodiola, ashwagandha, Siberian ginseng, those are excellent herbs because they help to really modulate your cortisol levels. The B vitamins obviously are very important. Vitamin C, magnesium as a very important mineral. It helps with adrenal recovery. So those are sort of the main ones that I focus on in my clinical practice.
Okay, very good. And obviously stress reduction techniques.
Yes, of course. So when we talk about like nutrition and lifestyle, you know, meditation, yoga, I just joined a brand new integrative health center. So I just moved my practice and we offer meditation classes and yoga classes and qigong classes. And so it's excellent because as I'm walking my patients out, I can say, oh, well, sign up for our yoga class tomorrow night or the meditation class. So yes, finding your stress reduction techniques is absolutely important as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Adrenal support obviously involves many things. We just touched on a couple. What's number three?
So number three is thyroid health. And it's something that I'm increasingly seeing a lot more in my practice, especially with women that are noticing that they have a lot of the symptoms of low thyroid. But of course, when their doctor tests their thyroid functioning, they'll say, oh, no, your thyroid's actually fine. And you and I both know that the type of testing that some conventional medical doctors will do is sometimes not always as comprehensive. So in my clinical practice, I make sure that I do a full thyroid panel with all my patients to assess for things like Hashimoto's. So we will look at the antibodies, the thyroid peroxidase antibodies. We'll look at both T4 and T3 because we know that T3 is the more bioactive thyroid hormone. Yeah. And we'll even sometimes test reverse T3. But in my clinical practice, I've really noticed that adrenal functioning definitely affects and is one of the main causes that can affect the thyroid to go out of balance. And because we know that the thyroid gland is sort of the gland of metabolism, it controls how well the brain works. It controls our weight, our metabolic rate as well. So we really want to make sure that, you know, when I'm looking at thyroid functioning, I'm always treating the adrenals as sort of the underlying root cause. Because again, in naturopathic medicine, we're always looking at, you know, discovering and looking at the root cause of disease.
Yeah, absolutely. So why do you think that there's an increase in the prevalence of thyroid issues in women?
Yeah, I think there are so many different reasons. I mean, one is adrenal, so stress. I believe stress plays a huge role. I think our environment, which is number four to the keys of optimum women's health, but we'll get into that in just one moment. But I think our environmental toxins, so everything from heavy metals to plastics to pesticides, you know, there are specific toxins that attack the thyroid gland, like fluoride and chlorine. And so I think a lot of these things are definitely increasing the thyroid diseases in women, the prevalence. And I think gluten too is having a huge impact, especially in autoimmune thyroid diseases such as Hashimoto's.
Yeah, that's interesting. And so you kind of let the cat out of the bag with number four, the environment.
Yeah, so I do a lot of education with regards to specifically, not just specifically women, but I do a lot of education with regards to environmental toxins and also like children's health, men's health, and women's health. And again, you know, when we look at the increase in carcinogenic compounds that industries are making, you know, everything from like insecticides and pesticides. And then, you know, we could get into the whole topic of genetically modified foods and hybridization and all that. I think a lot of times our bodies just don't know what to do with certain foods that we're eating. And then from a woman's perspective, a lot of our beauty products, right? A lot of the makeup and the lipstick and the mascara and the shampoos and the perfumes, you know, and household cleaners. So when you sort of add all of these compounds up, and a lot of these chemicals are hormone disruptors. A lot of them are estrogen mimickers. And so what they do is they're very smart. They basically mimic our natural estrogen production, and they create these very damaging and harmful estrogens, or they sway the whole estrogen progesterone ratios, and they put more estrogen, or they cause the body to create more or hold on to more estrogen in the body and in the fat cells. So this whole term we call estrogen dominance, I've seen really contribute to things like belly fat, hormonal issues in women like, you know, PMS or endometriosis or fibroids, painful cycles, heavy cycles. And again, I'm seeing it in a lot of younger women, like women who are in their teens, you know, 14, 15 year olds that are having excruciatingly painful cycles. And, you know, doctors are putting them on the birth control pill.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned the cosmetics and the hair products. From what I can tell in looking at the literature, that may be, everybody's kind of making a big deal about the plastic bottles, right? But the BPA, but really, I think much of the load, the toxic load a woman is experiencing is through these health and beauty products.
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, when I see some of the women that come in that are wearing quite a lot of perfume, or you know that they dye their hair or they have highlights, or, you know, now you can get things like eyelash extensions and, you know, the nails, you know, the fake nails, the gel nails. And you just think, you know, I can't even go into a nail salon because the toxic fumes are so strong, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, all these things we have to remember that they do definitely accumulate. Just because we're not eating it doesn't mean it can't get into the body through, you know, through the skin.
Yeah. 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 Very good. Very good points. If we look at the influence of environmental toxins on male fertility, it's pretty clear. Do you think there's a big contributing factor to women being infertile because of these hormone disruptors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. And that's another thing that I've been seeing in practice is a lot of women that either have been on the birth control pill for many years and now they're going off and they're trying to you know, get pregnant, a lot of them are having a hard time. And we kind of have to remember too that, you know, the birth control pill in itself are exogenous hormones that we're putting in the body. And so, you know, what are those doing to our natural hormone pathways? So, you know, before, you know, it would be kind of more normal to think, okay, somebody maybe in their late 30s or 40s that would have difficulty conceiving, right? Just based on like their hormone levels as you age. But now I'm seeing even women in their late 20s, you know, 27, 28, wanting to get pregnant, can't get pregnant. And I mean, we've got a couple of fertility docs here in Victoria, and I mean, their waiting lists are a year and a half to 2 years to get in to see them because of the number of women that are really struggling. But I do believe that, again, I think the environment, I think stress. I do believe also there's a couple of cases that I've treated where the thyroid actually wasn't properly diagnosed.
Right.
So it was just kind of on the border, and then you optimize that thyroid functioning, and then boom. The woman gets pregnant. So sometimes it's just really, you know, trying to figure out, again, that's why I love our job is, you know, you're really trying to, you're playing detective. You're trying to figure out, okay, what's the underlying.
A little bit of a detective, but also a conductor of a symphony, right? Because you've already stressed how the adrenals affect the thyroid can affect the female hormones. So everything's connected. So we have to make sure the whole system is working properly. So what's the last key, Marita?
So the last key is sleep.
Ah.
And so this is sort of a catch-22 because when we look at, again, adrenal health, Adrenal health a lot of the times can affect sleep, right? If you have abnormal cortisol levels, if you're firing, you know, epinephrine and cortisol at the wrong time of the day, if you're firing it more at like 2 or 4 in the morning versus earlier in the morning. But also the not sleeping, so people that tend to stay up later, maybe they get to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning and they change those hormonal levels, that can be stress in itself on the adrenal glands. So it can be really tricky because, you know, the adrenal glands obviously don't balance after a couple of weeks or a month, especially if the adrenal glands are fatigued or have been fatigued for many, many years. And so I spent a lot of time trying to re-regulate those sleep cycles by using things like melatonin or 5-HTP or even tryptophan and the B vitamins that are all the cofactors that help with all those neurotransmitters and those hormones. So I've had actually, I mean, one of my first probably go-tos is melatonin if people will tolerate it. And then I will always support the adrenal glands alongside. And then educating again, proper sleep hygiene. You know, I have a lot of patients that are drinking caffeinated beverages at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. But they don't think that that's potentially affecting their nervous system or affecting their stress hormones late at night, right? You know, being on the computer or the iPad or, you know, cell phones at 10 o'clock at night, you know, that whole stimulation of the nervous system. So I know it's really hard because we're kind of in a society where we're constantly being plugged into electronic devices. But I really stress that, you know, that's really important for proper sleep hygiene is you want to be unplugging, you know, after 8 o'clock. And now they even have, you've probably heard of there's the glasses or the screens that now you can get for your computers that block that blue light that can affect, you know, your sleep, your circadian rhythm and your sleep hormones. So I, if my patients really have to watch TV, I'll just say, okay, well, you make sure you get those glasses or the screen so that at least you're not completely affecting your natural sleep hormone.
Yeah. I found early on in practice, if I could help a patient get a better night's sleep, oh, it didn't matter what I was helping them with, their life changed. Because many people don't get a good night's sleep, and life is harder when you don't get that recharge, that rejuvenation, and that rest that we need.
And it's interesting. I read a I don't know if you've heard of this, but have you heard of the glymphatic system? So it was an article that I read a few months ago, and they were talking about how sleep helps your brain detox. So, you know, the more you sleep, it actually helps your body eliminate any potential toxins that have built up in the brain, because toxins don't just build up in our organs, but, you know, they definitely build up in your nervous tissue as well. And so getting more hours of sleep helps your body not just detox from your other organs, but actually detox through this, it's called a glymphatic system, detox through your brain. And, you know, by doing that, obviously can prevent things like cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, even more reason that, and, you know, I really, when somebody comes in with insomnia, I'm like, okay, we need to get you sleeping, because along the chronic insomnia goes on, I mean, can just lead to a host of other health issues.
Yeah. And, compounded by the use of, over the counter and prescription sleeping pills, these are really bad news for the brain, for the very reasons that you brought up. They don't allow the brain to eliminate built up toxins. And so we'd see just an incredible increased risk of Alzheimer's disease, cognitive impairment, and just poor brain health when people use those drugs. So we got to get people on the natural route here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Marita, thank you so much for being on the show today. And you're offering a free gift. It's called Making Sense of Women's Health. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes, it was my my first book that I wrote on my own, and it's, you know, years of my clinical practice and my experience with my women patients. But I picked of the 20 most common women's health conditions, and everything from nutrition, lifestyle, to supplementation, to conventional medical routes, everything's in the book. So everything from osteoporosis to low thyroid to adrenal fatigue to menopause.
Everything's right there, making sense of women's health. That's a great offer. Like you said, everything's there. It's a really an open door to your philosophy and your experience and your guidance. And for people looking for more from Dr. Marita, just go to drmarita.com. That's her website. So drmarita.com. Again, thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate you sharing so much. And thanks to all you listeners out there. And just a reminder, if you want to purchase the upgrade package, the price is discounted today from $197 to $97. And with that upgrade package, you get access to all the recorded sessions. You get to download and listen to them or view them at your convenience. You also get transcripts of each talk and all of the speaker's bonuses. So just click the order link button below this recording. And once again, thanks for joining our Natural Medicine Health and Wellness Summit and for making optimal health a priority in your life. I look forward to seeing you at the next session. God bless.